Good morning. Once again, we're coming close to the close of Acts chapter 7, and there's an awful lot of similarities in what's been happening to Stephen and what did happen to Jesus. And we know in this day and age that many Christians are persecuted because they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they brought forward and bring forward their hatred for a God who is in control. They don't know him, they don't understand him, and that's the direction they choose to make of their own volition, because sometimes we want to be gods. What Adam did in the garden, again, as we look back at history in the beginning. So let's, as we open up the scripture this morning, try to cover several key points. Will you pray with me first? Dear God, in our lives today, we, because of your Holy Spirit, believe you, Jesus Christ, to be the Son of Man and the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be with us, to indwell us, to teach us, to lead us, help us to listen to him, such that we can have this wonderful relationship with you, our God, as you desire. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we begin to close out chapter 7 of Acts, we see where Stephen has made his last couple of, I'm going to say, very strong accusatory statements, whereby he expresses how those who are charging him are rebelling against the very Holy Spirit that is in the midst and at work. And hence what they're doing is claiming Stephen to be a bad perpetrator of the religion of the Jews. And what they're going to do is to stone him. And they take that approach. They take jurisdiction. They don't even go to the government, the Roman government, to deal with Stephen like they did with Jesus. And so with this Taking Gathered Worship poem, you may have it with you, you may not, but the scriptures we're covering is Acts 7, 54 to 60, and then try to cover Luke 24, a couple of the thoughts from 24 verses 13 to 20, and John 15, 12 to 17. If you're ever in wonder relative to your walk with the Lord and would like an understanding of how you can look at it, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, is an excellent chapter to really study. Take it apart. And as you do, you'll see where, as a child of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you will bear fruit. And as that chapter goes on, it shows us where we'll not only bear fruit, but we will bear much fruit, and we will bear more fruit as we live in this world. So let me try to start off with, again, the questions here that Pastor Doug has written for the Take and Gather Worship poem. What are the similarities and what are the differences between the trials and the murders of Jesus and Stephen? Well, let's see if we can take the approach of the trials. We know that in the trial of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 27, it helps us to see and understand that Pilate, if you remember, the Roman governor, found no crime and should be released. It was stated he was not guilty. Well, what happened? The high priests, the rest of the Jews, were told, because a previous governor had given the opportunity to release a prisoner, and they could have Jesus Christ, and I believe the name of Barabbas, first name was Jesus as well, and they chose Barabbas because their hatred for God, their hatred for what Jesus said he was, the Messiah, and therefore they desired to get rid of him, kind of much the same way that this crowd is desiring to get rid of Stephen. Crowds become infested with anger and begin to block their ears. In the account of Acts chapter 7, it says they closed their ears and they could hear no more. Why? Because I suspect their conscience was being pricked. Now when they heard these things, verse 54, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. Ground their teeth is pretty angry to get that way. I know I used to do it in my sleep. I'd grit my teeth, but grinding their teeth is much worse, and it makes a pretty ferocious noise. So it was obvious that Luke, when he wrote the book of Acts, had heard this and seen it with his own eyes. So as we look at Stephen and Jesus and the trial, there's unrighteous anger that is being expressed. There's believed lies. There's character assassination, something that we as Christians need to be very careful about. They didn't have ears to hear. They were deaf to the truth. And the crowd prevailed in the accusations and leading toward Stephen's death as well as Jesus. The differences in these two trials is Jesus was turned over to the Roman government, Pilate, the governor at the time. And Pilate and the Roman government had tried Jesus and found no criminal offense. So when they released Barabbas, the high priest asked the question of Jesus, was he the Messiah? And he said yes. He couldn't answer that in any other answer, but yes. And as Jesus has taught us through the gospel, we're to let our yes be yes and our no be no. So there's no confusion. People know exactly what you believe and what you think. So Jesus answered yes. The Roman authorities took this as a case of being blasphemous, and that deserved death. And so the Roman soldiers took him to Golgotha and they hanged him, but not Stephen. Stephen was stoned right there on the spot. They were so angered over his conversation and how it was accusing them, the hearers, of actions that they had taken. It's not easy to hear the truth, but it's our responsibility to speak the truth in love. Jesus did in many, many occasions. And he also said, let those who have ears to hear, hear. We need to be thankful all the time because there's nothing that we have that we can claim to be our own. Everything we have, every situation and condition in our lives is under God's control. And so it's important for us to understand that and might be a brother in Christ, or it might be someone else that dislikes the truth of whom we believe in Jesus Christ. And we ought to be prepared, as says in Peter's epistle, to give an account for the joy that we walk with. And joy is not happy. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is the truth in Jesus Christ and who we believe in, who he is and what he has said. Never going to change. The outcome will be what he says it will be. So as we think about one of the other questions that's in this Taking Gathered Worship poem is, how should we expect the world to respond to our witness for Christ? I think there's a couple of ways as we look at that. One is, don't be surprised if they don't want to hear it. But we're called to give an account. We're called to express the love for Jesus that we have. So, no matter whom it is that you may be conversing with, we have to leave it up to God. So we speak the truth in a gentle, kind, and loving way about the gospel truth that we know and believe, and leave it up to God. Whatever it might be, trust God to either water, bring forth to the riches of knowing Jesus, or whatever. And if you're persecuted, it's hard to say, but we have to praise God for that persecution, because we are not going to go through this life clean and without suffering. That's just part of belonging to Jesus Christ. But as we age and mature, and God takes us through the suffering with grace and mercy, we become more thankful. The gratitude with life and for life that Jesus has given us is far more expressive in the way that we live. Let me read a couple of verses from that account in Acts, and we'll close. I want to read Acts 7:55-58. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, and this is Stephen, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. What a wonder, what an experience this was. Because this Saul that's introduced here is the wonderful, godly Apostle Paul who has written so many epistles. And so it is that we and those who might persecute us can turn, because God will turn them, come to faith in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for, again, the scripture, the word. It helps us to see and to understand and grasp our responsibility to you. Likewise, the promises you have made with us. Help us to be diligent. Help us to be truthful. Help us to be loyal and faithful to you, dear God, to the God who is above every other God, to the faithful, loving, unfailing love that you have for us, dear God. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope the rest of your week is wonderful. God bless you.